Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and we give you the praise. We thank you for your presence tonight, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, there are many times as we walk this road of our Christian life that things may not go as smoothly as we thought they should. You know, somebody, the preacher told us one time, all you've got to do is give your heart to the Lord and everything will go perfect. Hello? No, and the reality is that many are the afflictions of the who? The righteous. But the promise is the Lord delivers us out of them. How many? All. Difficulties, problems, and obstacles will come up from time to time, and sometimes life just gets rough. Hello. We faithfully continue on in our Christian walk, but sometimes we may wonder, God, are you out there? Are you aware of what I'm going through? Do you understand how I'm feeling? Heavenly Father, how and when are you going to bring me some relief or deliver me from this situation? On and on. This kind of came out of a devotion. I get if you've been around the Assemblies of God for a few years, you've heard the name Richard Dresselhaus. He wrote a lot of their subject matter, a lot of books, and a lot of teaching information, teaching matter for the Assemblies. And I had the pleasure when Brother Jim, 4 years ago, when Brother Jim and I had the pleasure of going to general counsel together, I had the pleasure of getting to meet him. And I did what many good Christians do. I was eavesdropping on one of his conversations at somebody at our table. And the person beside us was talking to him and saying, man, I enjoy your devotions I receive from you every day. In other words, he was sending devotions out to a few people every day. And he came around and shook my hand and said, I'm Richard Dresselhaus. Hey, Brother Dresselhaus, how are you doing? I said, by the way, I would like to get those devotions myself. And so for the last 4 years, I've been getting those devotions. They're just short, but they're powerful. Here's the one for this morning that kind of lines up with what we're going to talk about tonight. Why or why not? It's called One for the Road. Why or why not? The second question answers the first. First, why? Why am I terminally ill? Why do so many things go wrong? Why was I the one injured? Why am I having to face these things? The second question is why not? Why should I be spared adversity? Why should I think I am better than others? Why should I be immune from accidents? Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, the human race has been plunged into sin, and with sin comes every form of adversity, sorrow, and pain, and there is no one that is exempt, especially in the body of Christ. Can you say amen? So the question is not why, but why not? Every one of us is part of the fallen human race. The difference is this: we have a loving Heavenly Father who promises His sustaining grace, plentiful mercy, and His goodness toward us. And though we are a part of a fallen race, He hears and answers our prayers and moves on our behalf. And with that in mind, I thought about that scripture, being confident of this very thing, that He which had begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How do we cope when we are facing times of adversity? How do we go through difficulties? How do we face hard times? How do we face difficult situations? Number one, by continuing to be faithful in our relationship with Christ. By continuing to be faithful in our relationship with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, our circumstances should not dictate our relationship with God, because if they do, we're in trouble. Hello? Hello? If our circumstances and situations and the trials and how we handle them dictate our relationship with Christ, then we better be careful. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. What is faith? Faith is assurance. Faith is belief. Faith is believing. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Two major words there, substance and evidence. That word substance means it's the confidence, it's the support, it's the grounds. Faith is the substance, it's the confidence, it's the support, it's the grounds of the things hoped for, the evidence, the proof, the conviction of the things not seen. In other words, the substance of our faith is not based on our circumstance or situation, but rather it is based on the assurance that ultimately Christ is in control of our lives. Our faith is based in no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, Jesus is still on the throne. He is still in control. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, say a good work, in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident. The word confident means being persuaded, trusting, obeying, having confidence in, believing of this very thing. In other words, this is my foundation. This is my assurance. This is the substance of my faith. That's why I like why Jesus, one of his name is the rock of our salvation. Can you say amen? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That is the confidence of our faith. That is the foundation of our faith. If it's not, then guess what? If our foundation is in our society, if our foundation is in our government, but I got good news. Bernie's in the race, so we got hope coming. Praise him. Lord, forgive me. I got in the flesh there. Oh, Lord. Let me get back. Just shot the anointing completely anyway. Now, if you're a Bernie Sanders fan, we'll pray for you. That's all I got to say about that right there now. Being confident of this very thing. This is my foundation. This is my assurance. This is the substance of my faith. That somehow, someway, somewhere, God is working all things out for my good to accomplish in and through my life that which is most beneficial for me. In other words, God is at work in my life, even though I may be facing tough times. Just because we're going through trials, because we're going through difficulties, does not mean God is not working. He is. Can you say amen? Romans 8:28. And we know, say we know. There's that confidence again. All things, say all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's that word good again. We saw it in Philippians. He who begun a good work, but all things are working together for our what? Good. That he's working together for our good. And we know all things work together for our good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In other words, God is thinking good things. He's got a purpose and a plan for our lives. And we can be confident that somehow, somewhere, some way, God is working all things out. Not only the mountaintop experience, not only when everything's going right, but even in times we are going through valleys and difficult circumstances and situations. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work for you. When did God begin a good work in you? When did God begin a good work for you? So many times we say, well, when God saved us, he saved us for a purpose and a reason, and he has a purpose for our life. Let me tell you, what we've got to, and I'll get emotional, what we've got to understand is God's purpose, God's good purposes for our life did not just begin at our salvation. The Bible says he knew me while I was in my mother's womb, before I was even thought about in the mind of my mom or the mind of my father. God knew my inward parts before as yet there was none of them. Can you say amen? See, that's, try not to get political here. That's why Satan is having a field day, and that's why these folks are so demonically inspired through abortion, because they are not just destroying life, they are destroying the good purposes of God. They're destroying the good purposes, because every child that is born, every person, every fetus that comes along, every child that's conceived, God has a purpose, God has a plan, God has a reason for its being. They are destroying the good purposes of God. Can you say amen? And they will give an answer for that one day. Come on, somebody. Every good, the good purpose. That he which has begun a good work, he started a good work before my work ever began. Can you say amen? See, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared those beforehand while that we should walk in them. Prepared means he ordered. He set in place beforehand that we should walk in them. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will complete it. Say, will complete it. That's three of the most powerful words in that passage. That he will complete it. That phrase literally means that he will perfect it, he will accomplish it, he will finish it, he will complete it. You know what? If you're still breathing, you know what that means? God ain't finished yet. Come on, somebody. If you're still breathing, God ain't finished yet. That's basically the sum of my message right there. God ain't finished yet. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God ain't finished yet. He which has begun a good work in you is going to complete. He has not finished yet. You said, Brother Doss, I'm facing a difficult... We had the opportunity to pray with a young lady that got a bad report at the doctor, and then they had a misdiagnosis, then they had a messed up procedure, all within just a few weeks of one another. And she doesn't go to church here. I don't know where she goes to church at all, but that doesn't matter. We had an opportunity to pray with her this afternoon at a local restaurant. I want you to understand, God's got a purpose and God's got a plan. Can you say amen? God is a God of miracles. He can take a miracle and make a miracle out of men's messes. Can you say amen? He which has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. See, God is a God of completion. What he starts, he finishes. And if he begins a good work in you, it will be better at the completion of it. Can you say amen? Think about this. What is the highest form of God's creation? Look at your neighbor and say, you are. Is that right? This is who he died for. But in his creation, way back at the beginning, every day at the end of the day, he looked and saw that it was what? Good. Every day. When he got through, God saw that it was good. But on the sixth day, when he got through and looked over it all, that guess what? We were created on the what? Sixth day. He looked and saw and said it was very good. And then he chilled out on the seventh day. If he was beginning a good work back then, and even with Adam, which happened to be created on the sixth day, what is the number of man? Six. He still looks at us and he says, I still got a good work to do in your life. I still got a good work to do in your birth. And if he began and finished a work then, guess what? He's still able to begin and finish a work in our lives. Can you say amen? He still wants to finish a good work in our hearts, in our lives. Can you say amen? But sometimes, say sometimes. Let me go back. When he starts at the beginning, it starts out good, but it just gets better toward the end. But sometimes Jesus even uses the trials we may go through in order to bring that good work further to completion, to a better work in our lives. I didn't say he brings the trials along, but he can use the trials, and he can use the circumstances, and he can use the difficulties. We go through the trials. They call it in the New Testament going through the fire. Can you say amen? In the Old Testament, it's talking about that God is a refiner's fire. In other words, he'll use those trials to do a little purifying, to take the gold that's within and burn away the dross and burn away the junk and bring out the better gold, the more pure gold, the more pure relationship. And that can only come through the trials and through the difficulties. Can you say amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says this. Are y'all with me tonight? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, who's he talking to? Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. Wow. To the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That fiery trial that we're going through, could it be that God is using that to help create us and to do something greater in our lives in the process? Can you say amen? Many times God uses these fiery trials in our lives to help us to become that better work that he desires us to be, to help us to be conformed more into the image of Christ, to take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. When do we grow more? In the high times, on the mountains, or where? I've shared this before, but it's just so fitting tonight. I received this from a prisoner in St. Francisville, Louisiana, Donald Cousin. Sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then I have to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love and would be living in vain. I have so much to learn, and my growth is very slow. Sometimes I need the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys I grow. I do not always understand why things happen as they do, but I'm very sure of one thing: my Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, O Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling so very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys I grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and help them find their way. Thank you for the valleys, Lord, for this one thing I know. The mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys that I grow. Can you say amen? It's in those valleys that God is doing some of his greatest work in completing those good things in our life. God not only desired to begin that good work, but also to accomplish and perfect that good work, but also to finish the good work in our lives. Because if he knew us from our mother's womb before, he knew my parts before they were created. If God knew us then, God in his infinite knowledge and his infinite wisdom and his superior mindset, if he had a purpose and a plan for us then, he gets the glory as we follow his purpose and plans in our life, but he gets the greatest glory when we complete the task. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Can you say amen? God gets joy and God gets honor and God gets glory. Not so much as we go through the trials, but as he sees us growing and being conformed more to his image, fulfilling those purposes and the plans. And as that's happening, he's accomplishing that good work in our hearts and our life. Can you say amen? Is it always easy? Absolutely not. But thank God, we don't have to do it alone, because the Bible says his strength is made perfect when in my weakness. All I've got to do is hang tight, hold on, and lean on him. He that's begun a good work, God not only desires to begin a good work, but also to accomplish and perfect a good work, but also to finish a good work in our lives. Nothing, listen to me very carefully, nothing or no one can stop or hinder the work of God is performing in your life. Nothing or no one can stop the work of God that God is performing in your life. If we stay faithful and obedient to him, that's the key. If we stay faithful and obedient to him. You know who's the biggest obstacle in God's purpose and plan? I am. Yeah, Pastor, I knew you'd be the biggest obstacle in my life. No, individually, hello. Us, our own will, are the only obstacle that can stop, that keep God from performing that good work in our life. That's why we've got to be faithful and stay humble to the Lord. How do we make sure we don't hinder or stand in the way of God's plan for our lives? How do we make sure that we see that good work performed in our lives? Number one, got three things. Number one, stay submitted to God, to his plans, to his will, to his word for your life. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 10. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We've got to stay humble before the Lord. Submission and faithfulness go hand in hand. Can you say amen? Stay humble before the God. God resists the proud, but he gives, oh, I love this word. I love when God's word, the extra word, we say it's an extra word, sometimes we overlook it. God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the who? To the humble. How many of us want more grace? If we want more grace, we've got to be more humble. That doesn't mean we've got to be a doormat. We just got to stay submitted to the Lord. The second thing, we got to be obedient. Live a life of obedience to the Lord. The Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Humility, being humble and obedient is the key to growing in the Lord, to growing and finding the favor and the blessings of God. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Samuel was dealing with Saul, said this. Y'all still with me tonight? Then Samuel said, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. That old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. The third thing is just to serve. Just to do what God asked you to do. Do what God's called you to do. Do what God's purposed in our life. We read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has called us to serve. God has called us for that good work. He has prepared us beforehand. And while we are doing that good work that He has purposed and planned for our life, not in our own strength, but in His strength, by His guidance, by His leadership, guess what? While we are doing that good work that He's called us to, He's doing that good work that He purposed for our life. And there's no circumstance, there's no situation, there's no problem that we can face that can undo the purposes and plans God has for our life if we keep our eyes focused on Him. Can you say, there ain't no devil in hell that can stop it. Can you say amen? Well, Brother Dawes, that's a pretty big, let me tell you, if Satan could have stopped the cross, he would have, but he couldn't. If he thought he had him on the cross, if he could have stopped that stone from being rolled back, he would have, but he couldn't. And the scripture tells us greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. Let me tell you something. How many of you are sitting here tonight? How many of you are sitting here breathing? If Satan could have destroyed you already, he would have, but he couldn't because God's hand is upon you. He's still doing that good work in your life tonight. Can you say amen? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. So if you're still here, God's still got a good work going on for your life. Can you say amen? He, which has begun a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. All we got to do is hang on to the finish line. And I want to tell you, it's not very far away. We are closer than we've ever been. But we've got to keep our eyes upon Him. Stay submitted to Him. Stay obedient to Him. Serve Him. Love one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. And we're going to make it to the finish line. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Oh, he that's begun a good work in you, Brother Ellis, will be faithful to complete it. You know where we're going to wind up? Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Come on, so I'm about to get high. I don't know about y'all. And it's nothing about us. It's all about Him, and it's about the good work He's doing. Eyes not heard, seen, ears not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. Can you say amen? No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. Guess what? God's not finished yet. And I don't know what you came in with or what you're dealing with. I just want to tell you something tonight. God's not finished yet. Can you reach over to the person beside you? Tammy, God's not finished yet. Amen. Brother Larry, God's not finished yet. Can we stand tonight and just give Him glory and honor and praise? God's not finished yet.